Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We'll get our Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman's take on what's going on with the Redskins quarterback decision-making. Alex Smith is going to be in. Kirk Cousins is going to be out. A little bit later this hour on Grant and Danny, it is time to go blitzing. We will cover the Skins with Mike Jones of the Washington Post from Radio Row in moments. We'll also catch up with Ben Standig of Breaking Burgundy. If you're just joining us, the massive news of the day, the Redskins have traded for 33-year-old quarterback Alex Smith. They are sending Kansas City a third-round pick and 22-year-old cornerback Kendall Fuller, who was graded out as their best defensive player last season. 4-year extension for Smith's going to pay him upwards of about $70 million in guarantees. We're still awaiting on how much is fully guaranteed.
Right, that's
and the
that's
reason
the
that matters is it going to be that you're locked into him for 2 years, which is around that 40-plus figure.
Or is it three?
Or you're locked in for 3 years. And that's a huge difference for a guy who's going to be 34 at the start of the year, but also as it pertains to when do you have to get back into the quarterback market. If he's only here for 2 seasons, it's not out of the realm of possibility if they love one of these kid quarterbacks that they draft that guy right now this season. Or they could wait till next year and do it at that time. So that, to me, is kind of the next shell we've got to crack open and delve into. But some of the other questions still coming out today, why didn't Kirk Cousins want to sign? I think it's very simple. Kirk Cousins did not want to do a deal with Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder at this moment for the long term. He did not want to commit the prime of his career. He did not want to commit 3 or 4 years of the best football he's going to play to an organization run by those two guys where he didn't know if he could win. Let's get more on this as we get into our blitz right now. Ben Standig covers the Wizards. He also covers the Redskins. I'll ask you about the Wizards in a second, barely. But let's start with Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith. Your thoughts on the trade last night?
Well, look, there's a lot of moving parts here, and obviously at one level it ends the Kirk Cousins saga, which I'm personally happy with just because I'm tired of the one-year situation. That said, to me, this is something I just wrote on NBCWashington.com, is I can look at each individual part of this, the Alex Smith acquisition, his money, Kendall Fuller, even ending Cousins. I can point to all of it and understand each part individually. But the cumulative effect combined with the reality that this is a 3-year-long pissing contest, to me, is says that these guys ultimately made a trade based on pride, not pragmatism. That they just didn't want to be, you know, Marcellus Wallace in Pulp Fiction is the line I use where he tells Bruce Willis, you're going to feel a fight sting when you throw that fight. That's pride messing with you. Don't let that happen. The Redskins were not going to let even 1 second of that sting hit them, and they made this trade. And from that perspective, I have an issue with it.
Ben, I agree with you 100%. Just know that I do. But devil's advocate here, for a guy like Joe Banner, former NFL GM today, saying, this is a great deal. I don't know what people are talking about. They gave up basically Kendall Fuller for a good quarterback and Alex Smith. They're going to get a third-round pick back. They lost a third-round pick. Cousins was out anyway. What's your reaction to that?
I mean, look, if you strictly look at it from a 2018 perspective, like my take was that I didn't think the Redskins were that far away. If they had, say, kept Cousins, you know, that they acquire a solid wide receiver in free agency, you draft, you know, another defensive lineman to go with Jonathan Allen, you know, keep Zach Brown maybe. I don't see why the Redskins couldn't compete for the NFC East title. So it's not like, you know, in a 2018 sense, getting Alex Smith is bad. But, again, they did it in a way in which they also then gave up Kendall Fuller, who's now – you know, again, I get it. Some people want to say he's not Richard Sherman. That's a crazy, silly point. He's very good. He's very interesting from a pound-for-pound level. He's arguably one of, like, the 3 or 4 best values they have on the team. They also let Kirk Cousins walk for zero. So, and then they gave Alex Smith, who's 4 years older than Cousins, a good chunk of change. We'll see how much soon enough. So you put it all together, just for 2018, I get it. But the long haul and, you know, factoring in what we all know, that take just seems a bit much.
Benjamin, the last point you made is the one I want to drill down on. Here's what I don't get, and I'll never understand about the Redskins. They did this on a smaller scale with Pierre Garçon a couple years ago. Never even texted the guy. Hey, how's it going? You interested in coming back at all? They never contacted him. Same thing here with Cousins in this camp. The instant the season ended, I would put this exact offer in front of him. Not that he would sign it, but to put the ball in his court to make him say, no, that's not going to do it. Now, you know what? You look like the hero, and now we get it that you've got to go make the other plans because the guy clearly doesn't want to be with you, so quote-unquote. Instead, they remain silent, mum's the word, and then they go through this exercise. How is it that they offered a guy that's 34 years old that played for somebody else more than they ever offered their own guy in the building who was productive for them? That's the part I can't get past.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You know, look, I mean, obviously, you know, one stance I've been had on this whole thing for the last year and change was that I didn't believe that Cousins wanted to stay. And I know everybody just kind of kept saying, well, the Redskins are at fault. They're the ones who set this off. And maybe there's, you know, in a pie chart sense, maybe they do get a larger slice. But, to me, Cousins hasn't wanted to be here for some time, and it's been pretty obvious based on all the things he's been saying. So maybe if the Redskins also were eventually going, you know what, we're tired of this stonewalling. His dad came out and said no amount of money last offseason would have gotten them to sign a deal. So maybe they just said, screw it, we're moving on. It doesn't change the point that, you know, they don't have, again, that's sort of a pride factor. You could still just do what you said. Hey, here's what we're thinking. You guys interested or not? You're not? Cool. We're ready to move on. Good luck. And, you know, it is disappointing that they didn't do that. It seems like clearly both sides were on some level at fault for the lack of communication. But, you know, ultimately, the Redskins, you know, based on their history, we know things have not been – they haven't been great at doing some of these things over the years.
No, they have not. All right, lastly, on the Redskins for this coming season right now, and obviously the whole offseason will determine this, but are they better or worse than they were 24 hours ago?
I don't think they're better. I saw what you tweeted a few moments ago, sort of echoing what I said about this is more about the floor, not the ceiling. That this was a face-saving move. Alex Smith is totally fine. I don't really have a major issue with Alex Smith. He seems like an obvious Cousins replacement. You know for sure. But you give up Fuller. Maybe they think they have internal options to replace him, but they're also probably going to have to replace Breland. They still have some other issues. So based on just this alone, no, I don't think they're better. At best, they held serve with a little more cap space, but that to me seems to be dubious at best unless they just completely hit everything right in the offseason the way, say, the Eagles did last year.
Hey, Ben, my biggest story before this all broke was that the Wizards won without John Wall by playing great defense last night. That got superseded a little bit, didn't it? But that was impressive to me, the way Thomas Satoransky played some great D on Russell Westbrook down the stretch. They shared the basketball. Otto Porter had as good a game as he's had in months. Nice team win. Without Wall, that's got to be the formula, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's crazy. I was at the arena last night at the game, and literally the game ends. Huge win for the Wizards. We're about to go talk to Scott Brooks and the players about how they stopped Russell Westbrook this game. And Satoransky really stepped up defensively. Bradley Beal with a really good all-around game. Otto Porter back in form, all that stuff. And literally the second the game ended, came news of this trade, and it completely dominated the conversation. Even in the post-game locker room, some of the players were talking about it. Bradley Beal was joking a little bit that, like, hey, he would when he saw Alex Smith's money, he's like, he would take that to play quarterback. He would even take less. I'm like, dude, you make way more money than him, and you don't get hurt. Stop doing that. Don't even joke about that. But yeah, great win for the Wizards. Scott Brooks said it was their spirit that put them over the top. I totally agree. They're going to have to keep doing more of that. And the passing, the ball movement, really highlighted the offense for a second straight game.
2-0 sans Wall at this point since the injury, and as you said, great defense last night. Ben, thanks so much for the time and doing double duty on two teams. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, all good. Thanks a lot.
Locked on the Wizards and, of course, Breaking Burgundy. Ben Standing on Grant and Danny. Let's get back to your calls. Couple of things. We haven't really gotten into it enough detail to this point. The fit for Alex Smith here in Washington. The expectations for him and for the team in 2018. Your assessment on the loss of Kendall Fuller, getting rid of a good young player for a defense that is devoid of enough good young players. How big of a loss is that? And we'll give you some more of the player reactions, guys who took to social media to say they were upset, when we continue next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. This just keeps getting better. It's this kind of day. The NFL's the best. Von Miller has just hit Radio Row and is now telling people on radio shows he's going on that he wants the Broncos to sign Kirk Cousins, and he thinks he's the missing ingredient for the Denver Broncos.
I think he's right, by the way. That's such a good fit.
I think it's a great fit. I think that's the likely spot for Kirk Cousins. I've already done two interviews in Denver in the last 24 hours. They are jonesing and fiending for Kirk Cousins at this point.
Are.
I will say, though, that I think they're more than a quarterback away. That was a pretty massive, violent fall backwards they took last year. Look back at the end of the season game the Redskins played. That was not just a quarterback problem.
No.
But Cousins would definitely help them and would help cushion whatever blow they've got coming this season.
I do think they are just a quarterback away, because the end of the season was a reflection of the hopelessness. It's that Sarah McLachlan song when the dog commercial comes on. I'd like to see what happens. Yeah, they got to upgrade like everybody else does. Also of note, Andy Benoit, a guy that you and I like a lot, works for the MMQB, does a lot of the film breakdown stuff, good analyst, said, he didn't hear this, his latest tweet as of a couple minutes ago, Jay Gruden's system asks its QB to be more decisive than Andy Reid's system does. Also, there's more anticipation passing. Think now to what Gruden and Cousins have been in conflict over the last couple of years. Let it fly, trust what you see, etc. Gruden will eventually get frustrated with Smith leaving throws on the field. I think that is, when we talk about fit and scheme and everything else, Alex Smith likes to see it. Okay, it's open. I trust it. Now I'm getting rid of the football. It's going to bother people. Again, I'm just just be careful what you wish for, Redskins.
Be prepared.
That's all I'm saying.
There's a lot of clapping wide receivers that are getting passes thrown at them. He needs to see it to believe it, and Cousins is the same way, but not to the same extent. I mean, Smith is a more extreme version of that, as evidenced by the lack of interceptions. Cousins doesn't throw many picks. Smith throws less.
And so the occasional one that Cousins has thrown or will throw, he threw a few more this year than you'd like to see. But some of those where you go, how did he not see that defender? He threw it right to him. Well, rewind to the beginning. You think you see X. If X happens, my read is Y. Then X plus Y, then this and that. So these anticipation throws sometimes blow up in your face and look terrible, right? Because maybe the receiver saw something different, or you saw something different, or your eyes were incorrect. Those don't happen with Alex Smith. But you also don't get some of those, oh, man, how did he see this? Well, it's because of the read and everything else.
Here's a fun exercise before we get back to the calls. In the order of my tweets last night, as I was, like, processing this in real time, I figured I'd just read through some of my thoughts.
Yeah.
We could do the same with you. Did you tweet a bunch or not really?
I tweeted some, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can read through some of yours as well. So I just retweeted the guy who broke the story, who's already been on the show. If you missed it, you can grab the podcast later today, grantanddanny.com/audio. Therese Paylor from The Star and his story, and I said, wow. Then I retweeted Rappaport, who said Chiefs are trading Smith to the Redskins. Source confirms it involves picks and players. Alex Smith has 1 year left on his contract and will make $17 million this season. Good bargain for a top half the NFL starting caliber quarterback. But what did you give up? What picks? What player? So right away, as was going to be the case, as you and I said, best case scenario is Alex Smith is the starter if it's not Kirk Cousins. I was really in on this. I liked the idea of trading for Smith. Because Alex Smith only has 1 year left on his deal, I said, the Redskins would have been foolish to ship a top-round pick. Do you re-sign him immediately? He's going to be 34 in May. At which point, about 2 minutes later, Schefter comes out and says the Redskins have signed a 4-year contract extension
with
Alex
Smith.
It's
all in real time, man.
In the last half hour, the Redskins have found their stopgap quarterback and apparently their quarterback of the future by extending Alex Smith. They're handcuffing themselves to him for a couple seasons at least. Kirk Cousins is going to hit true free agency. It's a good night to be Kirk Cousins. Alex Smith didn't have the market. Cousins did. Long-term deal is going to cost between 20 and 22. I was off by a little bit. It was 23.5.
Mm-hmm.
I said guaranteed money would be in the mid to high 60s. It ended up being about 70. So, again, a little steeper than I would have thought. Then I had the point where I had to make it known that Andy Reid has traded the Redskins a veteran quarterback
before. It has happened before.
With a picture of Donovan McNabb. This is the second time he's given them a veteran quarterback he was moving on from.
I want everyone to own it if you love the Donovan McNabb deal in real time. Be honest about yourself. Be honest. That's all I ask.
A couple of things in comparing Cousins to Alex Smith. Their numbers over the last three seasons. Cousins 67%, Smith 66, about the same. Passing yards over three seasons. Smith 11,020, Cousins 13,100. 2,000 more yards.
Basic just there. Cousins has averaged approximately 4,500 yards, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions over the last 3 years. Smith has never done that once.
Not one time. Cousins, 20 more touchdowns in the last three seasons. Also, 36 picks to 20 picks. Ratings, Smith's 97, Cousins 96.5.
It matters.
Smith had a much better running game, had a much better defense than Cousins did, obviously. All kind of factors playing into that. But those were just kind of some of the specifics as I was making sense and making my way through it. Then I found out about Kendall Fuller, and that was annoying because he gave up. If we're ranking the best young defensive players on the Redskins, he gets a podium. Is he the gold medalist, the silver medalist, the bronze medalist? You guys can debate amongst yourselves. I mean, Kerrigan's not young anymore. So I guess Jonathan Allen's probably your gold medal winner.
Mm-hmm.
He's your first rounder last year.
Who else is on the podium? You'd go
Fuller's Fuller. Probably your silver medal. Is Preston Smith going into his third, I guess it'd be his fourth year. Your bronze medalist. Fabian Moreau, we haven't seen enough of. Joshua Holsey, haven't seen enough of.
Sua
Cravens, what is he? Monte Nicholson is not on the podiums. Do you have another kid, DB?
No.
There's just not a lot of good young defensive players on the team.
No, and that's why I think.
He probably is the silver medal winner.
Yeah, you need to invest a ton on that side of the football before this and now, especially afterwards. I'll do mine real quick. I just said, is this real? Quoting the tweet, going like, holy crap. Then I said, I still have a nice win for the Wizards tweet ready to go in case the Alex Smith story is bogus. Then, as the information's coming in real time, I don't even have time to do all the zings from the previous bombshell that we're trying to figure out. This is all happening so fast. Information trickling in. Mortensen reported some of the deals. And this is one of the last two serious things I said over the course of the night. My opinion, I still believe this, by the way. It was over between the Redskins, brass, and Cousins after Bruce flew to Michigan to, quote, get it done, and Kirk told him no. Then Bruce gave that ridiculous presser from his office. No contact with Cousins since the season ended. Then the last thing was happening was while we were trying to figure out, is it Kendall Fuller, is it not? You were on the phone, and everybody else was trying to figure out. Reports were that it was, that it wasn't.
Kendall Fuller had been told it's not you, by the way. Think about that for a second.
You've been told that.
While Adam Schefter and Field Yates and all these people, and I'm hearing it's him, and
it's
Mike Jones
Kendall
hearing
Fuller.
It's him. Kendall Fuller's being told you're not being traded, dude. The phrase he used was, I was told I was safe. Now, I didn't talk specifically to him, but I talked to someone who talked specifically to him.
Right. And so, basically, it was a back to the 1997 bash at the beach WCW where they tried to figure out who the third man was, and it turned out to be Hulk Hogan. No one could figure out who it was.
Great reference.
And that's the end
of last
night.
Your references are the best, man. Jonah Hill and what movie is that?
Is that Superbad?
No.
What is that from?
Is it Superbad? I think it's the movie where they're all going to die at the end of the movie.
This is the end. End of Days. Terrible Arnold Schwarzenegger vehicle.
Jonah Hill looks terrible. At one of his guys. He's like, dude, I love your references, man. You have the best references. Just a funny bit.
That's a good thing.
JaVale, Culpepper, you're on the fan. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Good, dude.
Doing well.
Hey, man, this is a horrible trade, man. Alex Smith, I'm not saying he's a horrible quarterback. I mean, he's adequate. But you give up Kendall Fuller, who was probably the second best defensive player and definitely the second most consistent defensive player other than Zach Brown on last year's squad, okay? Alex Smith lost his job in San Francisco to an unproven Colin Kaepernick at the time. He's lost his job now in Kansas City to an unproven Mahomes. And as you said a few minutes ago, Andy Reid has given us a quarterback already who he lost hope in and thought was past his prime. You know, I think more than anything, this goes to show you that Snyder and Allen are very prideful. They are very narcissistic in a way, and they just can't admit that they made a mistake 2 years ago. And this is a deal that they gave Alex Smith that they should have given Kirk Cousins 2 seasons ago. You know, so, again, Alex Smith is serviceable, but for the overall, you know, It's a bad move by the upper management of the Skins, and you know we can only hope for the best with Alex Smith now.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. Alex Smith's gonna be just fine. I mean, he's been the same guy for a bunch of years, and he was a lot better than that last year. What worries me a little bit in terms of trying to get that out of him is we had Therese Payton on who broke the story, and I said, why was he so good last year? And he said it was the culmination of 5 years of not having changes around him, and being in the same system. Which tells me he's not going to be able to duplicate that level. But they made this deal so that they didn't go 5-11. And they made this deal so that they don't look like a clown show when Kirk Cousins leaves and the bottom falls out. They made this deal because you guys are still going to be able to show up to FedEx, and they're going to win about half their games. That's why they made this deal. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Our beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts. We'll continue to mow through your phone calls next as well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan, the day after D.C. shook to its core by a football story that no one saw coming.
Dang.
Kirk Cousins is no longer going to be the quarterback in Washington. Perhaps the most successful run of any Redskins quarterback in history. Statistically, unequivocally, the most successful passing three-year tenure that we've ever seen is over. Alex Smith has been acquired via trade and extended. He will be the new quarterback of the Washington Redskins. We're joined in studio by our beat reporter, Craig Hoffman. Craig, news comes out last night. You jumped on with Chris Russell and the crew late last evening, and since then I've been able to talk to various people with the Redskins. I guess your initial reaction to what they gave up, which was a third-round pick, Kendall Fuller, and a boatload of money and a commitment to a 33-year-old.
Yeah, it's a lot. That was my initial reaction. Now, as we've gotten farther and farther down the road and we've gotten more and more information, it looks like the money might not be as bad. That $71 million is only guaranteed for injury, so I'm curious to see how much is truly 100% guaranteed.
I'll bet you it's going to be 2 years of injury money, and you can get out after the second
year.
And if
it's what it looks like.
If it's that, that's a good deal for Alex Smith. Frankly, that's a good deal. It's not like a team-friendly deal. It's market value, but you didn't overpay for Alex Smith.
Correct.
If that's the contract. Giving up Kendall Fuller hurts, and it hurts a lot.
Well, that's the overpayment. That's what the overpayment is. And the way what I said before, I want to get your take on this is your tax. You screwed up the situation. Not you personally, Craig Hoffman. You've done nothing wrong here.
Thank you.
I want
to
make sure you know that.
Clarified.
You're a good man.
I feel better now.
You should. The Redskins dropped the ball here. They screwed this up. So in order to get out from that, you've got to pay a premium. The same way that if you're dysfunctional, if you're Cleveland, you've got to pay more for a free agent. If you're a team that you don't know who the coach is, you've got to pay more, et cetera. This is the premium the Redskins had to pay to get out from under. Not endorsing it, simply saying, here's our context. You botched this for 3 years. Now you're stuck. This is how you have to get unstuck, and it hurts.
Right, and it's extra expensive because the guy you're going after is, there's a competition for him. Cleveland wanted him. All these other teams wanted him. And so, you know, the price was a second-round pick, and the Redskins kind of got around the price by adding in a really, really good football player, an all-pro caliber player last year. You didn't get that recognition, but, you know, Pro Football Focus, we can disagree with the grades a lot of the times, but, like, over the course of the season, they get stuff generally right, and they said he was the best slot corner in the league, and I certainly didn't see anything that would say otherwise. And the other thing that just drives me nuts is he's everything they want in a football player. Smart, he prepares, he's tough physically and mentally, he's professional. Like, all of these things that they say when we draft players and we want to build a culture, we want to have this accountability, and we want to be homegrown. He's all of that, and you have the added bonus that he's actually a local kid. He went to Good Counsel High School and then Virginia Tech. So, like, and so he's got ties to the staff with Turing Gray. Like, there's just so many things that make it wild that Kendall Fuller is the player. Like, if it's Fabian Moreau, it even makes more sense to me, who's another young guy they're really high on. But the fact that it's Fuller, who's so good already and established himself last year like he did at a position that's really hard to get quality players at and one that matters at a high level, that's your tax, and it's a hell of a tax to pay.
Greg Hoffman on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We had Solomon Wilcots on talking Alex Smith. He raved about him. Everybody does. Very likable guy. Met him at a Pro Bowl in Orlando last year, I guess it was. Couldn't have been a cooler dude. I don't think you're going to get people to say negative things about Alex Smith. I don't want them to. But I need people to explain to me why he's never been great. Why the 49ers moved on from him. Why the Chiefs wanted to trade up. And they gave up a lot, by the way, to do so. to get a quarterback last year. Why they're going to Pat Mahomes with, they don't know how good he is. They think he's good, but they don't know. If Alex Smith is as great as everyone's saying he is, which is a guy that you can go in a Super Bowl with, then why did a team on the precipice of a Super Bowl in the NFC and on the verge of a Super Bowl in the AFC both decide they didn't need him? It took 12 years for him to put up numbers last year that were Cousins-esque, and he's done it three times in three seasons.
Yeah, Kaepernick Smith is a different case to me than Kaepernick Mahomes. Kaepernick Smith was about the fact that Colin Kaepernick came in after Alex Smith got hurt and was really good, and they went, this is a better option for us now that we've seen him in games. Mahomes is different. Mahomes is about, they liked a player in the draft who they think has a higher upside moving forward, and Smith was getting older. And it was a race against time, and they said, you know what, he's ready now. We'll go ahead and, you know, we have invested in terms of the first round pick. We're going to move on. And it doesn't mean Alex Smith can't play. It just means they think that Mahomes is ready to play and they can save $17 million on their cap. So it's a financial decision as far as Kansas City's concerned. But I think you're definitely onto something with the greater premise of your question that, like, there is a ceiling with Alex Smith. And I think the ceiling, more than any kind of physical talent, is, and I don't want to like say lack of mental talent, because clearly he's really smart, but it's that willingness as from the quarterback position to take risks.
To cut it loose.
Yeah, he's more risk averse than a lot of quarterbacks, even more risk averse than Cousins.
Well, that's what's funny to me.
So when you push it down the field,
Cousins gets knocked for that all the time.
Yeah.
People wanted to go in a different direction almost because of that, and they went with a guy that is more extremely risk averse than Cousins.
Now, I think they are both, like, the narrative in terms of risk averseness about them both is more overstated than the reality, but Smith is farther down that road than Cousins is, even if neither of them is as far down as the public might think.
You like third down throwaways, so your team can punt. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Smith.
Let's go to Frank, who's in Denver. Frank's been waiting a long time. What's up, Frank? How are you?
Hey, boys.
Hey,
long time podcaster and listener, first time caller. And just to let you guys know, I started listening to you guys as Redskins fan, and now because of you guys, I'm a much bigger Wizards fan, Nationals fan, and
awesome.
So forth.
Right on.
So thank you for that.
You're a sweetheart.
Very
You're adorable.
Cool. Thank you.
One thing I want to say, sadly, this is probably the best that the Redskins could have done given the corner they painted themselves into. The two things I do want to say is, for me, this creates a much bigger impetus on the Redskins in the draft to go defense. And then also for you guys, I wonder, do you think Tom Brady – and Drew Brees and their longevity have kind of upped the age range in which managers and teams are comfortable paying quarterbacks?
Definitely.
An astute call.
We've seen that change considerably. Thanks for the call, Frank. Absolutely. 38 is the new 32 for quarterbacks.
Right.
You don't have age limits anymore where you worry because a guy's approaching his mid-30s. 10 years ago, this deal might not get made. But now, the way guys take care of their bodies,
and
the way their
hit rules,
full-time
man.
Commitment is made, the money they invest. Look at Cousins. He spends tens of thousands. I'll bet you maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars on his body if you add up the chamber he sleeps in and the
100%.
Weird sleep stuff he does with his head and the conversations he has with this therapist and this person and the chiropractors. Alex Smith is not a lot different than him in that regard. These guys spend so much money that they're in better shape and play deeper than they ever did before.
The science of recovery has advanced in the last 10 years in a way that's almost indescribable. So your ability to stay fresh, stay clean, work out better, be better prepared going into a season, nevertheless, your ability to stay fresh within a season is beyond what it was a decade ago by an incalculable amount.
Craig, go to this. The emphasis, I said this earlier, I want to get your take. Whoever the quarterback was going to be, Colt McCoy, if you brought Johnny Unitas back, or it was Drew Brees.
That'd be weird.
The emphasis that's what I'm saying, brought him back. The emphasis was going to be on defense and a running game. So that hasn't changed to me, right?
Yeah, no, this absolutely not. Where Alex Smith has been the most successful the past couple years in Kansas City is when he's had Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt and Albert Wilson and these really, really, really good wide receivers and backs and speed guys where he can distribute the football a la Kirk. Get the ball in his playmakers' hands and let them work. So you need to get playmakers. And I know, Danny, you're hell-bent on getting defense early in the draft, but like, if I tell you their first two picks are Calvin Ridley and Sony Michel, I don't know what that does for you, but I'm doing cartwheels.
Like, Danny would lose his mind angry.
Yeah,
he'd be furious.
I would love that. Get speed, get weapons, let Smith distribute the football, and let those dudes work. Like, I think that's a path to success for this team. Do they need more defensive players? Of course. They need more impact players on defense? Of course. And if Raekwon Smith is available at 13, should you take him depending on who else is on the board? Yeah. But I don't think you can lock yourself into something because you do need weapons on offense, and a draft is obviously a great way to get speed.
Here's a concern I have now about the draft as someone who wanted to go defense heavy early by going and getting Alex Smith. Number one, he is a guy, and we heard Terrez Payton, who covered him in Kansas City for years, say he doesn't throw to guys he doesn't trust, who may want help and upgrades at wide receiver. They're not going to necessarily spend on that, I don't think. The other thing is they have to run the ball. Alex Smith has never been the quarterback of a throw-first offense where he's dropping back and he's winning or losing your football game.
They've got to run it. How do they do it?
You have to run the ball and play defense. If Alex Smith is going to work here, just like he did in San Fran and in Kansas City, to do that, they need to upgrade the running back position. I think they probably go sign someone like a Jerick McKinnon type, somebody like that, with the money that they're saving. That would be my philosophy. But my original plan was draft someone in the second round. I can't do that now, probably, because I don't have a third-round pick. You can't use that pick. So either spend an early-round pick on a running back or you sign someone. I would go defense, round one, round two, sign a Jerick McKinnon, and work on my offense with some money and free agency.
The thing is, though, because you have a little bit of extra money now, it's not much. You're probably saving, what, $4.5 million, somewhere $4 to $5 million?
Could be close to seven, but closer. I would say four.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
From what Smith cost to what Cousins, well, this year, because it's down at 17.
Right.
You know, that could be $10 million. You can go spend, whether it's on a weapon offensively or some weapons defensively. You can fill this with veterans, too, defensively. So you got now some different paths, a little bit more wiggle room. Obviously, the investment of resources has to be there in offensive weapons for Smith and specifically to try to get a running game going and in some more impact players defensively.
Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, has been hanging out throughout the day, was on with the Junkies this morning. I know you got all kinds of things going on this afternoon. People can follow you at Craig Hoffman.
That's the place.
Much appreciate the time. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in? Just a little programming note here. One of our favorite X's and O's analysts who's been breaking this deal down analytically as far as how Alex Smith will fit into Jay Gruden's offense is going to join us at 1:30 today when we catch up with one of our favorite pals, Andy Benoit from MMQB. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Andy Benoit at 1:30 on how Alex Smith will fit into Jay Gruden's offense. Get you some deets on that. What do you make of the Redskins' decision to trade Kendall Fuller, a third-round pick, and extend Alex Smith for over $23 million a year, and it looks like guarantee him perhaps 3 years as their starter? Might only be two. We're going to find out more on that, I think. Probably by the end of the day is the hope. We're taking your calls at 800-636-1067. One thing we haven't unearthed here, and it's a few angles we're still kind of chopping wood and knocking trees down through this forest. One thing we haven't talked about is this does free up something we haven't talked much about, which is the possibility to use a franchise tag on somebody else now. Not that the Redskins would just go do that, because you have to have a player you like a whole lot to pay him at the top five at his position. My guess is a guy like Bashaud Breeland.
I was going to say, that wouldn't normally fit the bill, but maybe.
Bashaud Breeland probably would still cost too much to do that. Doesn't make a lot of sense to delay the inevitable with him for a year. But maybe if you want to keep Zach Brown around for a season, maybe you slap a tag on Zach Brown. The number wouldn't be massive. It'd be, you know, right around, I would guess, $11 million or so. You could franchise tag him. It opens up a possibility that maybe didn't exist before. One of the things I'm thinking about. Anything that hasn't been talked about that you think should be thrown out there?
It's a good point. I would say, what do you do now with the cap money? Because, again, we've all talked about on paper and in theory, well, the Redskins need to free up cap space to go, and they've got plenty coming into next season. But if they don't spend too much on a quarterback to go get players. Keep in mind, when it's their time to go get players, it's a lot more Jason Hatchers and Stephen Pius. It's a lot more Kendall Reyes is than it's been impact guys. Zach Brown's a great story, but that was a below-market, cheap one-year situation. Anytime they've gone out to put franchise building blocks together through free agency under Bruce Allen, I would say colossal failure. The break glass in case of emergency Josh Norman situation is now the ultimate outlier. What do they do with that money? Because you're saving. You've got cash. Now you know what you're doing. For years, you have the quarterback position in place. Whether people like it or not, this is what we're dealing with. What are you going to do with that space now?
Drew Brees was not available as the best free agent quarterback on the market. He's staying in New Orleans. Jimmy Garoppolo was not going to become available at 26 years old. He won his last five games in San Francisco and looks like he's going to be their future. Kirk Cousins wasn't coming back. We knew that, and it looked more and more clear like he was going to be elsewhere. So you mow through the rest of the best of the available options. You get to a name like Case Keenum, 30-year-old Minnesota Viking who just played in the NFC title game. Now, I'd rather Alex Smith start for me than Case Keenum. Just at even money,
yeah,
with
on a
compensation.
Binary 1-0, of course.
Who would you rather have for 16 games next year?
Smith.
Alex Smith.
Yes.
Me too. But I would rather have Case Keenum, Kendall Fuller, and a third-round pick than Alex Smith and neither of those two other things. I'd rather just pay Case Keenum. Problem with that is he might get franchise-tagged and might not be available. Minnesota could keep him. So you move on. A guy like A.J. McCarron's in a restricted free agent, 27 years old in Cincinnati. I'd rather have Alex Smith than A.J. McCarron.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Alex Smith four times than A.J. McCarron.
Yeah, hard pass.
The other Bengal, Andy Dalton. You'd have to trade for him. He worked with Jay Gruden, has a $96 million contract.
Yeah.
Very comparable deal, absolutely. I would rather have Alex Smith than Andy Dalton.
Again, of all the quarterbacks that were reasonably available, non-Kirk Cousins division, Alex Smith is my one seed. There's no question about that. But then you go, okay, what else are you willing to pay for?
Okay,
it's like
but
that
you
scenario.
Haven't answered this for me, though. Bridgewater without giving up Fuller in a third-round pick or Alex Smith with what you gave up?
As much as I like Bridgewater, which is more than you, it's still Alex Smith.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd rather trade Fuller and get rid of a third-round pick and have Smith over Bridgewater, who would have cost a lot less. Plus, you'd have so much more cap savings.
I'm playing with Bridgewater. I'm playing. I still think there's upside game, but there's uncertainty. You're talking about a knee, a guy that if Minnesota's letting walk away for the ultimate journeyman jag, Case Keenum, that's
right.
Not doesn't inspire confidence.
What
I don't think that they're going to get it right, and I'll get it wrong.
30-year-old Sam Bradford. I know that he has knee problems, but assuming he's healthy, I actually think he's as good or better than Alex Smith, but he's never healthy.
Yeah, I don't. I've never liked Sam Bradford, so I'll pay whatever the freight to not have Sam Bradford under my employ.
And there's really no one else worth debating. The rest of the market is guys like McCown, Geno Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Moore. Who cares? These guys are the dregs of society.
So the unpopular take here that I'm offering is of what was reasonably available to them, again, because of their own screw-up, their situation, their dramatic failing over the course of 3+ years. The fact they never even offered this to Kirk Cousins should be mentioned every single day for the rest of time. The offer they just signed Alex Smith to, 4 years older, they had never even put in front of Kirk Cousins. That is an outrage. Everyone should be upset about that at all times.
And we know he wasn't going to re-sign. Why wouldn't you just go to him?
Place it in front
as of much
place.
As you care about the court of public opinion and winning with your fans, and just make a ridiculously impressive offer that he was going to turn down and then turn around and say, we made the offer. He can now leave saying and being truthful, I did not turn down one market value offer from the Redskins.
And it's insane.
3 years of going back and forth, this hostage situation for our radio show and everyone else's.
Yes.
Of only being able to talk to one thing. 3 years of, I'll use air quotes here because it wasn't a negotiation the entire time, but the back and the forth saga, they never once made an offer that was market value.
And this time, this go around specifically, you know how you make out with the homecoming queen? You don't sit on the bleachers and just hope. You got to go
not?
Make an aggressive
what
move.
What do you do then?
You got to duck in. If you get slapped in the face, so be it, but at least you're not the bad guy anymore. That's the part I won't ever get past. But back to the discussion.
I thought she just showed up to the bleachers and asked if she could make out with you.
Yeah, it's like a teen movie where everybody works out and like she used to be ugly, but now she's hot. And like she doesn't have glasses anymore.
She got really hot really
fast.
Yeah,
and then the whole homecoming stops.
They play
and the
music
DJ's
and
there.
She walks down the steps and she looks different. You're not sure if
well,
it's the same
stop
girl.
As soon as she comes in the gym. Everyone's like the record scratch, even though it hasn't been
who's
a record
this
in decades.
Girl and where did she come from?
What is her deal? Does she go to my high school? I don't even know who she is.
Oh, wait, that's her?
Oh, that's her? Point is, of the previous discussion, of the options that are reasonably available to them, this is the best one, and it costs a tax. It costs a freight. So of all the guys that I would reasonably say, yeah, I'll take Case Keenum at 16 instead of Alex Smith at this price plus these things I've given up, I don't think Keenum's coming. As much as I like Bridgewater, which is way more than you, I don't know that I'd be willing to bet the future on a guy coming off this knee injury that Minnesota couldn't wait to get rid of that they at one point had as their future quarterback in favor of Case Keenum. My point is, what was available to them wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And I don't trust them to draft somebody. So next thing you know, this is the least stinky of a pile of various piles of garbage.
This is a good solution to a terrible problem. It's not a good solution if we're grading it on the scale of like all of the options in the NFL had the Cousin saga never played out.
Mm-hmm.
But considering that you have created a mess, considering that your house looks like something off of a show from Hoarders where you can't see the floor and there's 3 feet of crap everywhere,
mm-hmm.
This is kind of a tidy room at this point. 800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny reacting to Alex Smith coming to Washington.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.